Less than a week to go until tax day, people. And as you fill out your tax forms, keep this figure in mind. 18% of the federal budget, around $600 billion. That's the amount that goes towards defense spending and international security assistance. Now, that budget is for everything from keeping the Defense Department running to operational costs in Afghanistan to building missile defense systems to protect against an attack from, say, North Korea. Sounds like a pretty good use of your taxpayer dollars, right? Well, in reality, maybe not. Four huge programs intended to intercept missiles have completely failed, and they came with a huge price tag. It's all part of a new investigation by the LA Times. Reporter David Willman sat down with me to explain the $10 billion gamble on missile defense that lost.
SBX is known as the sea-based X-band radar. It is a floating radar that is intended to provide coverage for anti-ballistic missile defense for the United States. It's on what was originally built as an offshore drilling platform, and that was converted, obviously, at great cost it can be a self-propelling vessel. It stands about 26 stories high, and it's about 400 feet in the water, longer than a football field.
And if people look at your story in the paper or on the website, they can see some images of this thing. Absolutely gigantic. It's the size of an oil derrick, literally. And the idea was to move XBX around the world, use its incredibly powerful radar to shoot down missiles from Iran or North Korea.
Yes. I mean, the original vision for it, as stated by leaders of the Pentagon, two members of Congress, was that the SBX radar would be based up in the Aleutian Islands at a specific port up there. And in fact, some $27 million was spent just to prepare its special berth up there. What we reported, of course, is that this floating platform, first-of-a-kind design, never wound up at its port. It was never ported there for a single day, despite the promises that it would be up and running there as of late 2005. It has never fulfilled its original promise to be part of the everyday missile defense capability of the United States. If the United States came under attack from, let's say, North Korea or Iran, if they ever developed a capability, the theory is that the U.S. ground-based mid-course defense system would fire rocket interceptors from one of two locations or two locations, Vandenberg Air Force Base, Santa Barbara County, California, and or Fort Greely, Alaska. And those interceptors would be guided by inputs of information, including perhaps information that would come from the SBX radar. That was the original promise.
Now, so much of what has gone wrong with SBX is not that it doesn't work as a radar. It does, and it's extraordinary. It's that it really can't see that wide of a range. I read it described in your story as looking down a soda straw. So when we get down to it, if a missile's launched, why doesn't this extraordinarily powerful radar actually work?
Well, if there was only one missile coming, and if the SBX somehow was fortunate enough to be focused on the spot on the horizon where it was coming from, or if it was cued to that spot, it would have a chance to do the job. The problem is, because of its narrow field of vision and the great difficulty of toggling to other spots in the sky, if you had even a rather crude volley of 4, 6, 8 missiles spaced by a few minutes apart, it would be highly impractical for SBX to do the job.
David Willman, that's part of the question here because, you know, everybody expects money to be spent on research and development. You don't know if something works until you test it out, and a lot of things fail, and that's fine. But there are so many weapon systems in your expansive story. There's the airborne laser aboard a 747. There's the kinetic energy interceptor, basically a bullet that hits a missile in midair. There's multiple kill vehicles, which are a similar thing. There's the SBX radar. The question becomes, how did these things get so far along, so many billions along in their development and deployment without anybody throttling back and saying, wait a second, these things aren't working as they're billed. We might be wasting a lot of taxpayer money here.
Yeah, well, what we said in our piece is that it was the climate that coming out of 9/11 that really helped get this over the goal line. I mean, the seeds for what we see in action now, you could trace certainly at a minimum to the 1990s. during the Clinton administration, then Secretary of Defense William Perry took the position that we're going to have a very rigorous testing program before we deploy, let's say, a ground-based mid-course defense system. And that was a position he took. There are a lot of members of Congress who were not happy with that position at all. They saw to it that a commission got appointed that ultimately was headed by a fellow named Donald Rumsfeld. And the Rumsfeld Commission's report came out in 1998 and said that, countries such as North Korea, Iran, Iraq, you name it, they can obtain a long-range missile delivery capability within 5 years of deciding to do so. The same Rumsfeld Commission said that various countries, including North Korea, Iran, Iraq, were trying to develop nuclear weapons capability. And that provided a lot of impetus, but then the final propulsion mechanism, if you will, was September 11th, and then new President George W. Bush announced in 2002, we're not going to wait anymore, I'm paraphrasing, for assurances of reliability through testing. We are going to deploy a ground-based mid-course defense system in 2004. And that's what they did. And I think it was that approach that gave us what ultimately became these multi-billion-dollar failed programs. The total, as we've published, is right about at $10 billion for these various programs.
A lot of factors at work in a story of failed technology, military dreams, and congressional lobbying. David Willman is a reporter with the Los Angeles Times. David, thank you so much.